Good morning. Welcome to the September 11th San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors meeting. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Today, President Barack Obama has proclaimed September 11, 2012 as Patriot Day and National Day of Service and Remembrance. And I've asked Supervisor Hill to lead us in a moment of silence. Supervisor Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you probably know, this is now the 11th year since the events on 9/11, and it's good that we have a National Remembrance Day. I myself have very distinct memories. In the 70s, I grew up in the New Jersey suburbs outside of New York, and remember when the Twin Towers were being constructed and became, for quite a long time, a very important part of the New York skyline. And when you see today it not there, its absence is so stark. And a continual reminder. And I wanted to, before we had a moment of reflection, to read a short passage, very short, of one of the founding fathers. We always talk about founding fathers. One of the founding fathers of American literature, Walt Whitman. And this is from a poem where he is really mourning the loss of people who died in the Civil War, and ultimately mourning the loss of Lincoln. Whitman was probably the first to love Lincoln before everyone else would in the world long after, and understood that poetry was could become this great instrument of witness and remembrance. And this is a very short stanza from this poem. Whitman himself served as a nurse in a hospital where soldiers would be brought back to Washington and also visited battlefields and was quite overwhelmed by what he saw. I saw battle corpses, myriads of them, and the white skeletons of young men. I saw them. I saw the debris and the debris of all the dead soldiers of the war. But I saw there were
no changes to the agenda, please.
Addendum to item number 5, a renewal agreement with the California Department of Public Health to conduct supplemental nutrition assistance program education services. Both attachments are being replaced to 1, revise the resolution to correct the limited term position allocation figure to 1.0 full-time employee, and 2, replace the clerk's file statement for the renewal agreement. Addendum to closed session item number 21 on the agenda cover sheet to add the following, which was inadvertently left off, 2, personnel. It is the intention of the board to meet in closed session to consider public employee annual performance evaluation for the position of human resources director. Requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement.
Very good. Thank you. With that, I'll open discussion on consent. I have no request to speak on items on consent, so I'll close it. I guess I do have one. After all.
Probably on number 2.
Okay. I'm sorting through some late submissions here. Public comment on consent, Lindy Owen, number 14. Ms. Owen.
Good morning, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. Just a couple of questions on this item 14, which is a recommendation to approve work by Black and Veatch to repair the intake pipe on the Nacimiento project. It explains here that while construction on August 18, 2010, while construction work was being performed on the project intake facilities, The intake pipe suffered a partial collapse. The collapse has not prevented the project from delivering water, and the repair work will only require short periods of interrupted delivery. The collapse, however, prevents the intake pipe from drawing water from the lake at different elevations and therefore impairs the project's ability to obtain the best water quality available from the lake. So what basically I understand broke was there's a pipe that goes down and collects at different levels of the lake. And the reason that I do not want to see Nacimiento water sent to Los Osos or as an option for Los Osos is that there's a high level of mercury at the lower levels of that lake that cannot be removed. And the intake pipe is designed to take it at different levels so that you're blending the toxic water from the bottom with the cleaner water from up above. I wanted to ask, it says here that there is no cost to the Black & Veatch repair, but it does say that this year the district has retained $294,974.18 from payments due to the designer based on estimated costs that have and will be incurred by the district for support of the work relating to the intake pipe collapse and repair effort. So I would like that to be explained. If there's no payment yet, it is listed as an expense already for this year. It seems like an odd bookkeeping thing. And then there's actual district costs as of March 2012. It looks like $78,249. So to say that there is no cost is a little confusing when you're showing there's a rather high cost. So I would like a little bit more explanation if that's possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. And we have a request to speak on consent item number 2. Andrea Verney and Lisa Ray, if you'd like to come forward.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Supervisors, and Council. It is great, with great honor that we come today representing the Latino Outreach Council for the County of San Luis Obispo. Thank you so much for having us. You know, as you know, there is a diverse culture of the Latino community here in San Luis Obispo County in each of your districts, whether they are the migrant farm workers, they are students, or they are doctors. You know, they all have a beautiful, humble culture that we would like to celebrate and honor this Thursday for our Mexican Independence Day. And we would like to invite you to come join us in this to show that your support for your districts for this beautiful culture.
Very good. Thank you.
Hola. It will be located on the corner of Higuera and Napomo. And we do have a performer that's going soon to arrive to
for the Latino Outreach Mexican Independence Day celebration this Thursday, September the 13th, during the Farmers Market. We'll not only be honoring the Mexican Independence Day celebration, but we'll also be honoring Senor Rogelio Flores from the Mexican Consulate in Oxnard, who is leaving us after serving us very well for the last few years. Assemblyman Asajan and others will be there to honor him for his service and for what he's done to the Hispanic and Latino community.
Thank very you. Good. And the time?
Starts at 5:30, it'll be 5:30 to 8:30. There'll be dancers, there'll be mariachi music, and probably some food around also.
Very good. At San Luis Obispo County Farmers Market, Higuera and
Higuera Napomo. And Napomo Streets, thank you.
Very good, thank you. Supervisor Meacham, item number 11.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was going to ask Ryan Chapman if he could, please. Had a couple of email requests asking about how this was determined and why roadway speed limit was increased, especially on Bennett Way to Vineyard. If you could just give a little bit of an explanation for those that are listening, Ryan, I'd appreciate that.
Thank you. Ryan Chapman with Public Works. So the speed limits are established, or the process for speed limits is established in the California Vehicle Code and the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices. And the process is we go out there, we measure the prevailing speed of the road, of traffic on the road, which is the speed that 85% of the traffic is going at or under, and that establishes the baseline speed limit. There is an option in certain cases to reduce it because of conditions that are not apparent to the drivers. In the specific case of Bethel Road, the measured speed was 50 miles an hour, we were able to reduce it because of the conditions that weren't apparent to the drivers, and that's how that was derived.
But the one on from Bennett into Vineyard, that was increased to 45, I believe.
Yeah, it was increased to, it was measured at 50 when we redid the survey, and then we were able to set it at 45 because of a condition not apparent to the drivers.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, and item 13.
And item number 13, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Flynn, if you could describe the area, and this is a somewhat misleading. This talks about a submittal of a bid opening. Actually, this is a bid award. And could you give us the where this is starting and where it will end and the time frame in which this will take place?
Thank you. Dave Flynn with Public Works. This is a long-awaited overlay project that we've been working on this year. We waited until after Labor Day to eliminate some of the traffic delays that would be caused by doing work on Nassaman Lake Drive. The proposed project involves paving about 4 miles of roadway. The primary section starts at the intersection with Chimney Rock Road and proceeds north towards the lake, which includes a lot of the steeper curves and or the steep grades through that area. So we certainly would want to see traffic approach the area very cautiously. We'll be putting signs out well in advance of the event to alert motorists that to limit their speeds through the construction zone and the date and time of when the work would begin. At this point, we would anticipate that work would begin the first week in October and continue for approximately 4 weeks, as we have a lot of additional appurtenances along the road to address, such as guardrail along the steeper portions. We'll also be doing a very deteriorated section of the road right at the entrance to Heritage Ranch, which, because the bids came in very favorably, part of your action today is to award an additive element of the bid so that we can do that section right in front of Heritage Ranch, which will greatly improve driving.
Will be greatly appreciated by those folks, I know, and I wish a lot of the folks would limit their speed out there all the time, not just on construction times. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Mr. Flynn, can you or someone from your staff address the question regarding the Nacimiento intake pipe rehab reconstruction? Ms. Owen asked a question about the cost.
Yeah, certainly. Let me ask Scott Duffield to come up, as he's been working with Black and Veatch on this issue.
Very good. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. Scott Duffield at Public Works Department. The cost for the district costs that will be incurred for this have been retained from Black and Veatch payments when the incident first occurred. We had estimated slightly less than the withheld amount to cover our district costs, both that we already incurred during plan review to look at the design that they proposed, as well as to manage the construction part of it and move forward. So we don't anticipate any costs additional to the district.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes public comment on consent, so I'll bring it back to my colleagues.
Move to approve the consent.
Okay, as amended. Second? Okay. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Teixeira?
In Highway 227. There was a property there that's approximately 260 acres, and it's identified as Green Gate Farms. And for many, many years, it was owned by the Stream family. And they have – I just noticed my time isn't going down.
Yeah.
If I get extra.
Yeah, be real quiet about that.
Okay.
I just noticed that myself. Okay. So that's on us, Mr.
Okay, Hill. Thank you. And so recently, the property is many, many years in the Stream family. They raised Arabian horses. To our knowledge, they never had any events there. They've always just raised the horses and then sold them in the open market. Recently, the property was sold to some local developers. And the uniqueness of the property is it was 260 acres, but it was in five parcels. There was some underlying map that allowed it to have five parcels. And in turn, to the best of our knowledge, that developer has re-optioned the property to two other developers or two other people that have some interest in development. So what that would leave is leave a 70-acre parcel approximately, for lack of a better understanding, a 50-acre parcel, and then the remaining 100 and some acres to that original purchaser. We've been watching the property very close, and in my mind, there's a tremendous amount of pre-development going on. They started doing some grapes, which is part of the agricultural option. But at the same time, they started to fill in some what we consider to be some environmental channels. They've started some construction that was stopped by the code enforcement, and then they went and got a permit for it that were some property in the setback. And they brought in at least several thousand or maybe a couple thousand yards of fill. We've, on a daily basis, tried to contact county staff to keep them abreast of what's going on. The difficulty is that staff is, staff's very busy, and this is such a fast-moving target. It's very, very difficult for staff to keep up with it. I'm just asking today if you would help support staff with their efforts to keep track of what's happening there. And then also, we would ask that, because there's so many aspects to this project and so many independent pieces, and there is pre-development going on, that we would ask that somehow the county be able to cause them to combine all the goals that they have in their property and try and identify it as one project so that we can understand what the impacts are to the community. The impacts, they've spoken of having a wedding facility there with 20 weddings, which would mean a wedding every weekend, a brewery, all kinds of different facilities. So I would just ask for your support with staff in that.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Shetler. Supervisor Hill?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up, I have met with Mr. Shetler on this, and I have spoken to the property owner next door that he's referring to and have spoken to planning, and they will continue to monitor and keep me in the loop as well as this goes forward. And, of course, we'd welcome any information from yourself or the neighbors as well.
Just one last comment. We have a website up. It's called SaveEdnaValley.com. So we'll have all of our information on there on a daily basis. We just got it up yesterday.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Shetler. Eric Greening, followed by Ben DeFada.
Thank you. I am Eric Greening. Good morning. This evening, the Morro Bay City Council is going to be considering a strong resolution in total opposition to the seismic testing. I can't tell you yet what they will do with it because, of course, they haven't acted on it, but the fact that they have asked that such a resolution be prepared probably tells us they are going to take a stand. Your stand is somewhat different. It assumes the testing and is trying to get the best out of it, but it is possible for a stand to evolve. There are still bodies that will be making decisions on this. My understanding is that the California Fish and Game Commission will be having a sort of a study session type hearing on the 24th of this month. Apparently, that's not the date the decision will be made. That may happen on October 3rd or 4th, but they are obligated to protect the wildlife. The Coastal Commission will be hearing it sometime between October 12th and 14th. There is time for your position to evolve, and I'm telling you now why it needs to evolve based on your own conservation and open space element that your board, you specifically, those of you right here in this room, adopted this time to read. I would suggest you read them. I would suggest you bring them to your next meeting and act on them and develop a position relative to seismic testing that implements them and does not ignore them. You have them to stand on. Please stand on them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Mr. DeFada, followed by Dr. C. Height.
I echo Mr. Greening. Good morning, Chairman Patterson and Board. I am Ben DeFada, speaking for the voiceless of those in the economically depressed zone of Los Osos. I'm sure none of you got up one morning and decided to run for a political office out of the blue. I'm sure you became an activist for a passion you had for a cause that you believed in so much, like save the trees, save the rats, save the snail, save the whale, no nuclear power plant, and so forth. And you didn't like the decisions or you didn't like the decisions of those in political office. Fighting City Hall every week at this lectern is a chore none of us here from Los Osos enjoy very much. In the end, you're supposed to do the right thing for the people. After all, they say you work for us. That's what they say. In short, we're tired of coming here just like you're tired of seeing us too. The few of us that come here to comment or inform you of something that's wrong with this county or something you're doing to the people of Los Osos by this board, such as this board's warning to continue with powerful seismic tests off the coast of a nuclear power plant, as well as the $200 million gravity sewer system for Los Osos that we can't afford. We can buy one for $50 to $100 million less. Didn't we just receive a warning from the Japanese nuclear power plant meltdown disaster? And that Japan, France, and Germany are phasing out the use of the nuclear power plants, even not knowing where to place the nuclear waste is a waste. Today, we know that hundreds of thousands of people in Japan are deathly sick with diseases that will shorten their lives on top of the high cost of rebuilding their cities. Do you know you have to have a building? Do you have to have a building fall on you? Maybe if you were in a 33-second 6.8 earthquake event like the Northridge quake, it would alert you of the power of an earthquake to man and surrounding areas. I guess I have to get to the main part, which is three more pages down. I remember around in these difficult economic times, where is this board's moral compass to do the right thing for your constituents? I remember around 1980, President Carter, a Democrat, lost to the newly installed President Reagan, a Republican. Reagan immediately cut the funding for thousands of public projects. What I'm trying to tell you is that if the USDA is loaning us money to build a sewer project, and Romney becomes the next president and does the same thing that President Reagan did in 1982, how can you be sure that enough money will come forth to finish this overpriced, heavily flawed, unaffordable, energy hog, stinking gravity project that we can't afford to finish, and this board's causing Los Osos to run out of good water, thus causing the importation of water that we also can't afford? As my representative, please don't get us in another predicament your board can't finish. I'll give it a half second.
Thank you, Mr. DePata. Dr. C. Height, followed by Carol Rose.
Dr. C. Height, Los Osos. I carefully chose my words. As a PG&E ratepayer, I am going to pay for the destruction of all life within the decibel path of the seismic study, and this is a wrong that I just cannot contend with.
Don't listen to the woman. Women don't know what they're talking about.
I think it's important to go on to say that the evidence in the record of the environmental analysis here does not support the idea that all life in the vicinity of the seismic survey is going to be ended upon the execution of the survey.
All life within the vicinity of the survey may not be ended, but all life within the decibel path will be ended.
There was an assembly bill sponsored by Assemblyman Fuentes earlier this year, and it sought to transfer the responsibility of sidewalk maintenance all to local agencies. And your board adopted a letter opposing that back in May to essentially carry on the Streets and Highways Code, which made it the responsibility of the adjoining property owner.
So here it is. The county decided that people who own the property could be responsible, and that is assuming that it's in front of a house.
That exemption, that housing exemption, might be lost. So we anticipate we're going to be coming back to your board seeking support in order to maintain the housing exemption. And that's especially important also for Los Osos and disadvantaged individuals being able to access USDA money for their on-lot lateral costs. That concludes our responses to public comments as well as a brief legislative update.
Look at what you're trivializing.
Thank you, Dr. Hyatt. Carol Rose, followed by Julie Tacker.
Good morning. My name is Carol Rose from Homestead Senior Care. Thank you for allowing me to come and speak to you today. I would like to invite you to come to a fundraiser for the Alzheimer's Association. We are sponsoring a movie night in Paso Robles at the Park Cinema Theaters on September 19th at 6 p.m. All proceeds will go to the Alzheimer's Association. Today I brought with me flyers and tickets as well for the event. We're selling them for $10, and it's going to include popcorn and a drink. And for anyone who'd like to go or make a donation, they can contact us at Homestead Senior Care in Pismo Beach at 773-3744 or contact your local Alzheimer's Association office.
Hey, would you want to run through those just again?
Okay.
People have an opportunity to write it down.
Okay, the movie night is Wednesday, September 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. The tickets are $10. They can call Homestead Senior Care at 773-3744 in Pismo Beach, or they can contact the local Alzheimer's Association office for that.
Very good.
Okay, and I'm inviting you by giving you a flyer and a ticket to go.
Very good. Thank you for that information. Ms. Tacker, followed by Gwen Taylor.
Good morning. I am Julie Tacker from Los Osos, and today I'd like to speak about the seismic testing. Your legal counsel and some of you have said that the project is not in your purview. I believe you do have purview. The monitoring devices that will be placed some 50 feet apart all the way down the Morro Bay sand spit will be buried, disturbing the soil. This soil is snowy plover habitat, Morro Shoulder Dune snail habitat, potential Morro Bay kangaroo habitat. Your own planning department wrote a letter and commented on the EIR raising these very questions in how they were going to access and proceed with their project on those dunes. Those dunes are Montaña de Oro State Park, public lands. That's our property, and you are the county, and you have a say. I believe a coastal development permit is necessary, and the proper protocol surveys for these special species should have been done, should still be done, before any progress on that project. You as individuals can take a stand. You have armies of advisory bodies below you that you can ask for their advice and their input, and I ask that you do. Bring those advisory bodies on board. Ask your cities within your districts. Ask your CSDs within your districts to take this to the public. Get the public's input before you cast aside the very dangerous concerns that continue to be raised regarding this project. This is a sensitive coastline. I think all coastlines are sensitive, but ours has been in protection. We've worked very hard to protect it. You as individuals have passed laws and ordinances all to protect these lands, coast, on shore and off. You have purview. And I think someone said your moral compass is off, and that was relating to another project. But I think our moral compass is right on, and the right thing to do is to cease the idea of this project. The risks outweigh the benefits, and I ask that you take this matter broader to the public and let's have it out. Let's duke it out, gentlemen, and I think you will change your mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Gwen Taylor, followed by Lindy Owen.
Good morning. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I'm a resident of Los Osos in the Prohibition Zone. As the development plans continue, I and others in Los Osos continue to be many years. The county's lack of due diligence is and has been evident. The continued overdrafting of the water basin will only exacerbate the saltwater intrusion into the supply of water to all the purveyors, including the counties. The distribution of the dewatering collection in a gradient area from the Brodesson site and the Midtown site will also have the potential for affecting the purveyors' wells adversely, and will not address the saltwater intrusion. It is unrealistic to place the responsibility of testing these waters from dewatering trenches from the trenches to the contractor. That's ludicrous. It is the responsibility of this county to keep track of the water at all times. High groundwater has created an unaddressed problem in the development of properties and will continue unless you take a hand and make sure that the dewatering is addressed. Don't just leave it to the contractors. This is not good business. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Lindy Owen, followed by Al Barrow.
Good morning. Lindy Owen from the Prohibition Zone in Los Osos again. Two subjects. One, I would like to speak on the issue of the seismic testing in, off the coastline. I wanted to basically say it's a horror story. It's the equivalent of 190,000 Hiroshima blasts over a 33-day period. And if you don't think that's going to turn every living object in that coastline, the 500 square miles, 50 miles off out the coast, into jelly and slime, then you probably need to go back and watch some more National Geographics. It's going to kill starfish, kelp beds, plankton, larvae, crabs, mollusks, all the way up the food chain, all the way to whales. And it also involves the birds and all the shoreline. The seabirds will have nothing to eat, and they will be diving into slime. So please make a stance and put your comments in, because this was never we didn't understand how dangerous this testing was, and there is nothing that is going to come out of these tests that is equal to the horror that you would allow to happen. The other issue is I wanted to talk about, I have my old dictionary here, and talks about I want to say that this county has privilege, and the privilege, what it says in the dictionary is a right or immunity granted as a peculiar benefit, advantage, or favor. And it's also privilege is having or enjoying one or more privileges of some special circumstance, not subject to disclosure in a court of law. So I believe that what's going on here is this county is very privileged to be able to have its public works department designing the most expensive per capita project in the county and overseeing itself and bringing things to this board for approval. So where is the forensic audit? Are we going to have the same kind of catastrophe? I believe we have it. That's why I am continuing to ask that you undertake a forensic audit of every penny that's been spent, every grant that's been given to us, every loan that's been given to us. Where is the money and how is it distributed? Even in your last audit, you were missing $5 million out of the conservation fund. So I would ask that Gary Seebach, before he leave office, get underway and get an outside expert in here. We just watched the state parks take $28 million and lose it. And we've been watching Wallace and Associates for years paid themselves in the sanitation district down in the Oceano area. They paid themselves $50,000 to $60,000 every month so that they could pay their business to do the repairs that were never done, which caused the disaster. Thank you,
Ms. Owen. Al Barrow, and that concludes my request to speak on.
Good afternoon. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low Income Housing. There's a lot of discussion about public debt and private debt lately, and this is my warning light for my bicycle I am going to back up my green talk with my bicycle ride. I'm not using any gasoline when I come and go now. I'm not riding the bus. But nevertheless, the debt issue is a big issue, and I personally in my life have tried to hold my debt to a minimum. And, you know, low income, under the poverty line, $1,000 a month, you have to do that. And with other families and things. But you've created a debt for me and for the rest of my friends in the community. Putting the burden on the people of race and color in here is violation of federal laws. We have people that live in this zone, people that are black, people that are of other colors, that cannot afford this project. But the burden on them has not been considered and is not in compliance with CRA. So I think there's more to this story than has been revealed so far. And I've spoken with lawyers, judges, and other people about the law on this. And I think, gentlemen, that when you look at this pie chart and you see that this small population of the county is burdening almost a $200 million project, where's that logical? Where's the logic of that? Small population, 5,000 homes. These people over here in this section are either going to get to build their vacant lots with the burden of cost on us because they get the extra sewer. Anyway, thank you very much and have a great week.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. That was my last request to speak on general public comment, but before I close public comment, I'm going to ask Supervisor Teixeira to introduce a special presentation this morning. Supervisor Teixeira.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson. And in conjunction with the Mexican Independence Celebration that we're going to celebrate on Thursday at Farmers Market, we have a guest dancer, and Miss Andrea Vernier will introduce her. And we will have music and dancing.
There you go. Happy times. That's right.
In behalf of Latino Outreach Council, Alani Barajas from Cal Poly, Imagen Espíritu, de Cal Poly, she will be dancing Negra, which is the region of Jalisco.
Thank you.
once again for your support. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much. And if you enjoyed that presentation, join the Latino Outreach Council this Thursday, September 13th at San Luis Obispo Farmers Market from 5:30 to 9. Higuera and the Pomo Streets, they'll be dancing and celebrating Mexicans' independence from Mexico's independence.
Not just by myself in our office, but by all of our constituents. I think all of the folks on the fourth floor and certainly all of the folks in the county who've had the good fortune to work with Susan. And if there's anyone to blame, it's that handsome white-haired gentleman who's sitting next to her who has also decided to retire, her husband, Bob Vesely. And I'm glad to see some of her friends are here, and her former boss, Don Ernst, is also here to honor her. She was very demanding that she not receive much of a send-off. So we weren't able to do a rezo or any of that. So what we do have, though, is this nice tradition in the supervisor's offices honoring all the legislative assistants. And it's sort of spooky because her names and dates are already up there, you know. It's just, even though she has a couple more days, but we're pleased to be able to do that. And I already gave her a gift certificate to Bona Tavola next door so that she could continue to take me to lunch, and I could give her the inside county dope. But we're all going to miss her greatly. So I just wanted to hold this up and see that she will be honored in the small way that she demanded, which is as part of our legislative assistance. If you want to come up, Susan, and hold
Susan,
this.
Come
on up
join
here.
Us so we can
get a picture.
Get a little closer than we normally do. with our award recipient.
You get to hold it. Right.
Oh, I get to hold it.
Yeah, you get to hold it.
All right.
The other gentleman.
Get in here.
Okay. All right. That'll go viral within minutes.
I know, Mr. Chair, a couple of other people probably want to say some small nice things. It's easy to say nice things about Susan, so.
Yes, I'm going to offer an open mic. I do have a request to speak from Sherry Espiro, Bruce Gibson's legislative assistant. Sherry? No tears.
No tears. Thank you, Honorable Board. My name is Sherry Espiro. I'm the legislative assistant to Supervisor Bruce Gibson. And as Supervisor Hill said, Susan did not want to be honored today. But, as a great man told me, my father, sometimes you don't get what you want, Sherry. Oh, I mean Susan. So we are here to honor you today, and we will miss you. Susan is a great asset to the fourth floor. She is smart. She is passionate. And she is a great friend, and she can work a room like no other. And above all, she's brave. Most of you know in December, Susan and I decided to go gray together. And she made it before me, but I'm still working on it. I'm very thankful to have met Susan and also Bob. Some of you know I house sit for Susan. And I'm especially honored to have met and known their dog, Sandy. And we will continue that relationship, I hope. But on behalf of the legislative assistants, Vicki, Deb, Amy, and myself, we will miss you greatly. But we will look forward to that phone call that says, come over for lunch, it's ready. We love you.
Susan?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I think it's more likely that, Sherry, you'll see me at public comment than at lunch. Just kidding. It has been an absolute honor and a privilege to work with you, the Board of Supervisors, and truly all of county staff. You have a very professional organization. People that work here are very intelligent. They care about the county, and I don't think you could ask for anything more. And again, thank you. Thank you, Adam, very much for letting me be a part of this organization. And I do especially want to thank my partner in life and my husband, Bob Vestley. Thank you.
I just want to comment that both Susan and from us on representing the board in a variety of different capacities in the community. It just allows us to inform each other. Yes, Mr. Grant?
I'm sorry. Jim Grant, County Administrator. I thought it was appropriate just to remind you that I think we were supposed to take a break at this time to do a little celebration upstairs.
Okay, I was told 10:30, but if we want to do it now, are we ready to do that now?
Why don't you ask Susan? She's in charge. Yeah.
I guess. Okay, I'm sorry. We will take a short break and reconvene at 10:20.
Are we starting?
Are we back back in session?
Well, I guess we are. We're all here. I was just waiting for more of the public sector to filter in, but I guess maybe they're on a break. So we are now at a point in time where we share with each other and the public any updates we have from the various boards and commissions we sit on representing the Board of Supervisors, and I'll just go down the dais here and start with Supervisor Gibson.
Well, thank you.
Any updates?
Nothing largely profound in thinking about the outside boards that I sit on. The one that's very interesting and important to this county is the first five commission, the Commission on Children and Families, which manages, administers tobacco tax money for the benefit of children 0 to 5 years old. And it's been, as always, a challenge in that we have many fine organizations, both within county government and within the nonprofit sector, who are doing a remarkable spectrum of things. First Five Commission has actually found a small extra amount of money, and we're in the process of planning strategically how to keep our function going at as constant a level as we can, as far into the future as we can. We're looking ahead 10 years and working on our major initiatives, which include school readiness and prevention of health issues in small children, such as fetal alcohol syndrome and things like that. So, again, nothing dramatic to report at this point, but for those who are interested in the issues of children and families, I commend to them the First Five Commission website. If you Google San Luis Obispo County First Five Commission, you will find a wealth of information on a bunch of organizations doing good work.
Great. Thank you, Supervisor Gibson. Whenever I think of First Five and the other children's programs that we support as a board, I think of a Chinese proverb that Dr. Julian Crocker shared at a meeting many years ago, and that is, while children are a third of our present, they're all of our future. So with that in mind, I think it's important that we continue to support our children here in the county. Supervisor Hill, any updates?
I don't, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
We've been kind of more quiet in the summer.
Timing is often the principal player here as to whether we have updates or not. How about you, Supervisor Meacham? Any updates?
Just real briefly, and I,
I recently wrote an article for the Pascagoula Chamber of Commerce newsletter to talk about what other boards and other commissions and other things that the Board of Supervisors do, because I don't know that a lot of folks know that we sit on several other boards and commissions as, other than just our job as a supervisor. Two primary liaisons that I am for this board is to the Nascimento Water Commission, which I've been serving for ever since that was established, and also for the Pension Trust. I sit in on the Pension Trust meetings, and I have to tell you that they are very, very thoughtful, very, very astute in their ability to make sure that the county's finances are in good position from a pension standpoint. So those are just the two that, and if there's any questions about those, you know, call me.
Okay, and certainly the Pension Trust is an extremely important body, and we appreciate you attending those meetings and keeping the public's interest in mind. Supervisor Teixeira.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson. I am the board's representative to the Latino Outreach Council, and much has been said about that this morning. And I would just like to add again that everyone's welcome this Thursday for Farmers Market from 5:30 to 9 for the Mexican Independence Celebration at the corner of Higuera and Napomo Street. Thank you.
Okay, I look forward to attending that. It's always a very festive event. I have a couple of quick updates and their efforts in the North County and a recent fundraiser that Supervisor Meacham and I participated in to kick off their capital campaign to improve their facilities and services in the North County. The Community Action Partnership in the next couple of weeks, along with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, will be kicking off or I should say going public with their capital campaigns to improve both their services and facilities and the work that they do. And we'll have more information in the coming weeks about their respective activities. The Homeless Services Oversight Council meets Wednesday, September 19th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Veterans Building on Grand and Monterey in San Luis Obispo. The public is invited. I also serve as a representative of this board on the Fire Safe Council, and our board is meeting in Atascadero on Thursday, September 27th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and we'll be taking a look at the vegetation management project in Stadium Park that was funded by the Fire Safe Council. So, again, the public's invited to that effort. So that concludes my report, so we'll move it on to the first hearing item of the morning, and I appreciate all of you being patient with us while we do some of the board business, and I'll ask the clerk to introduce that first hearing item, please. Madam Clerk.
Item number 17, a request to appoint Assistant Auditor Controller James Erb as Auditor Controller, effective December 30th, 2012, to replace current auditor controller Jerry Seabach, who is retiring December 29th, 2012.
Mr. Seabach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I am Jerry Seabach, county auditor controller, and I informed the board a little while ago that of my intentions to retire at the end of this year, and under the government code, it falls to your board to appoint a replacement to for the auditor, and that person would complete out the basically 2 years of my term that's remaining. After that point, that person, if they wish to continue, would have to run for election, and that would the primary would be in June of 2014. Now, I made this informed your board a little bit early, intentionally to give the board a chance to think about it, and so that if a successor for me was selected, I could work with them and they could have some time to ensure an orderly and seamless transition for the auditor's office. I think the auditor's functions are very important to this county, and the all the citizens, but also all the county departments, depend on our office for support in order to do their job. So it's important that there not be any break in service or any disruptions, in my view. I am recommending that your board appoint James Erb, who is currently the assistant auditor. Jim has been with us 22 years, a little more. He has been involved in just about every function of the office in some way or another over the years. He had one, a major achievement as a, he moved up through the ranks. We hired him in 1990, and he moved up through the ranks, various responsibilities, but one of the major, he became a supervisor, principal, and we gave him the project leadership for our installation of our ERP accounting system, a major, major project. It took about 4 years. And he was the on-site manager, included department, just many people from our department plus many other departments. And that project has been very successful. It was brought in under budget, and it's functioning well for us. And that was quite a task for Jim, and it showed his leadership ability and supervision abilities there. 3 years ago, my longtime assistant, Bill Estrada, retired, and I selected Jim to be my assistant. He's been a good assistant for me for the last 3 years, and once again, involved in all aspects of the office in one way or another. So that's my recommendation. There are state requirements from the government code for the qualifications for the auditor. And Jim meets those qualifications. So I recommend your board consider this matter.
Jim Hamilton, followed by Lydia Carr.
Good morning, Chair and your board. Jim Hamilton, Division Manager with Auditors Controller's Office. I can tell by hearing Jerry's comments how much he held back as far as the praise for Jim. I will also hold back for fear of working lots of weekends in the upcoming months. I'm sure Jim wouldn't hold back on assigning me some weekend duties, but I didn't want to let this opportunity go by without a chance to say what it's like to work for Jim. And I've been with the county for 10 years and have always worked under Jim, and that door is always wide open. And I know I speak for staff throughout the auditor's office, and I believe also for departments around the county, that Jim's door is always open. He's someone who problem solves, rolls up the sleeves, is open to everyone's ideas, doesn't make any decisions on his own, and I think that that process has served us all well, and I sure hope that you're able to approve his appointment, and I can tell you if you do so, it's with the support of his staff and the county departments. Thanks.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton and Lydia Carr.
Good morning. My name is Lydia Kaur, and I'm also a division manager in the Auditor Controller's Office. I'm here along with many others from our office to support the appointment of Jim as our Auditor Controller. We've worked together for more than 17 years. We started out in the internal audit section and then moved on to several other projects, including the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and like Jerry and Jim already mentioned, the county's enterprise financial system, which was a huge accomplishment to bring that in successfully and on budget. And during the time that I worked with Jim, I found him to be a very skilled and effective manager. His leadership skills are outstanding. There's never been a time when I felt Jim wasn't available to listen or offer support and guidance. I feel very strongly that the auditor's office will be in good hands under Jim's leadership, so I urge you to approve his appointment as Auditor Controller.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Cora. And that was my last request to speak on public comment on this item, so I'll close public comment and bring it back to my colleagues on the board, Supervisor Meacham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will support this. I think Jim will be a tremendous asset to the county, as he has been in the past. And we're going to miss Jerry. I know Jerry's been here. I think you were here when my great-great-grandfather was the supervisor. But you have done a phenomenal job. and Jim right behind you is going to follow right along with that. One thing that I have been so impressed with the county is the succession planning that they've done, finding people that within our organization that can start backfilling those that are retiring or decided to leave, and that's a very impressive thing to accomplish. And from the auditor's office, I think in a lot of cases, folks don't really know the extent to which the auditor's office is involved in things. It's kind of a mystery in some respects. So having the opportunity to sit down with Jerry and also with Jim, I'm just really pleased to see the way things are going, and I'm very supportive of this.
Very good. Thank you, Supervisor Meacham. Supervisor Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I echo my colleague's comments. And also in recognizing the fact that Mr. Seebach has been a real asset to the county's financial management. A lot of the tough decisions that we've had to make over the last few years have not been as tough as they could have been or have been in other places, partly because there have been good decisions made previous to all of us being on the board, and Mr. Seebach has certainly been a key player in that, and so he certainly leaves a very strong legacy. And I know, having spent time with Jim, that he's ready to, you know, Jerry, of course, says that, you know, don't expect the perfection that I provided from Jim, but Jim seems quite ready to assume that perfection, and brings a lot of passion and goodwill, and certainly the respect of those in his department, which matters a lot to all of us, and respect among all of our county employees. So I'm really happy too that we have someone who's ready to step right in once Jerry retires. And I think that with some of the changes that we have seen, I think a lot of people are retiring because, quite frankly, of the really good work that has been done by people like Jerry and Mr. Grant, and Mr. Jensen, and we see a lot of our senior leaders leaving, but they're leaving, you know, with a lot behind them that they can be proud of, and I'm just happy that we do have good people to step up like Jim, so I'm happy to support it.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Supervisor Hill. We have more discussion. I guess what we'll do is we've got a motion
we've
on the floor and a second. And we'll carry on with discussion here. Supervisor Teixeira.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson, and I agree with my eager colleagues on their first and their second on this motion. But I've just got to say that along with what they've said, the succession plan and to have capable people to be able to step in and take these jobs, whether it's in the auditor controller's office, county council, or the CAO's office. And it reminds me of a time when I was back at Cal Poly many years ago, and one of the first things I learned in one of my business classes was teacher told us that the sign of a good manager is somebody that gets his employees to do his job for him. And I think this is a very, very good example of that. And having worked with both Mr. Erb and Mr. Seebach in my short time here, I can tell you that they're both very effective in what they do and have gotten quite a few compliments from the community and the other agencies that they've dealt with. The one thing I will say about Mr. Seebach that Assemblyman Asajjan told me one time is you can tell how long somebody's been at the county. Either their hair has changed colors or they have a lack of it. So in Jerry's case, a little bit of each. You know, it's a little grayer and a little less there, so I understand that, so it's okay. So thank you and good luck in your retirement.
Thank you, Mr. Teixeira, and I'll only say that I didn't realize Mr. Seebach was such a Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn type that he has his office staff do the work for him, and I don't know that Jerry did that. I do want to say, besides echoing the comments of my colleagues up here, I've had a great relationship with the auditor's office. I know early on I heard a lot of complaints from department heads about countywide overhead, and it was somewhat of a moving target and causing a lot of department heads grief. And that's no longer the case, by the way. That got resolved. But I took Jerry to lunch and Andrea McGarvey, because I called Jerry and asked him about county overhead, and he said, you have to talk to Andrea McGarvey, who, by the way, is also retiring at the end of this year, which gives me a little bit of unsettledness. But I took both Andrea and Jerry to lunch to, you know, get an understanding of county overhead, and I have to tell you that after an hour and a half lunch, I was more confused than before lunch. I was right in there with all the department heads about county overhead, but that got resolved, and I just think it's important to mention that Jerry is not a yes man. He's come before this board and others during his career and puts it out there when he doesn't believe a policy that we're entertaining, if you will, an idea about financing, and Jerry didn't like it or didn't think it was a good idea. He was here to tell us about it.
And we did it anyway.
But we certainly enjoyed your presentation, Jerry, time after time. But anyway, I agree with my colleagues that this county is in the great financial shape that we're in because of the work of not only the auditor's office, but all of our department heads and the county administrator's office, our local government employees who have been at the table working with us through this financial downturn in the country, the worst recession since the Great Depression. We're doing extremely well because of that atmosphere of cooperation and engagement that our county employees have. And I've worked with Jim Erb on a few issues over the last few years. The guy's responsive, he's knowledgeable, and I have great confidence in his ability to carry the legacy of the auditor's office forward in a very positive way. So I'm supportive, and we have a motion on the floor. And Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes. And the motion carries. Congratulations, Mr. Erb. Do you want to take a minute and comment? A minute. I don't have to remind Jim of that. If it were Jerry, I'd be nervous.
Thank you. Jim Erb, Assistant Auditor and Controller. I agree with what everybody said today, and I've got my own list that I could add to it. But seriously, the Auditor's Office has been a great place to work, and working under Mr. Seabock has been fun and very a very good experience. He's allowed us to just to give us tasks and to let us do them ourselves, and we have really learned. I think that I was looking over the list of things that I've accomplished since I've been here, and I think one of the most important one is that the staff that we've got in place that we've hired and trained and that support our office. That's really what's allowed.
To reallocate Home Investment Partnership Program funds and allocate Emergency Solution Grant funds, all districts.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Lele and Ms. Terrell, you'll be making the staff presentation on this item.
Mr. Chair, if I could just interrupt, I'm going to step down on this issue. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Dana Lilly with your planning staff. Tony Navarro would be here today, but he's in Los Angeles for some training with HUD. Morgan Terrell of our staff will
make the presentation. Our sympathies for Mr. Navarro. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you.
It's not easy. Ms. Terrell.
Good morning, Chairperson Patterson and members of the board. Morgan Terrell, planning staff. I have a short presentation for you to describe the reallocation of home funds and the allocation of emergency solutions grant funds. Specifically, we're proposing to reallocate $139,500 of home funds and $123,309 of emergency solutions grant funds.
She said just abstain.
The home program creates affordable housing for low-income households, and the emergency solutions grant funding provides sources for emergency shelter, outreach, prevention, and rapid rehousing.
Can we hold off just a second? Do we go ahead and get your conversation done, and then
okay.
We can...
you for waiting. We had to clear up a technical issue on this item. Ms. Terrell, would you please continue the presentation?
Yes. So I will just provide a little bit more detail about the home reallocation. The Paso Robles Housing Authority requested reallocation of $139,500 of home funds from acquisition to development for the Oak Park Affordable Housing Project in Paso Robles. In the past, the county, your board approved funding for both activities for the same project, and the Housing Authority no longer needs a full amount that was allocated for acquisition, so they requested that the funds that they don't need be moved over to development because they do need more funds for that activity. So that's what this request is. And moving on to the Emergency Solutions Grant allocation, just as a reminder, on May 8th, your board approved funding for general activities. You can see on the screen here for both 2011 and 2012 second allocations of Emergency Solutions Grant funds. They can only be used for rapid rehousing, which is providing rental assistance and supportive services for people that are homeless to rapidly move into housing, and then homelessness prevention, homeless management information system, and administration activities. And today's request is to allocate funds to specific nonprofit agencies to run homelessness prevention and rapid rehousing activities. And in around February, the county issued a request for proposals, and we received three applications. And the Homeless Services Oversight Council reviewed the applications in detail, and they made a funding recommendation you see on your screen here, which is between the 2 years to fund $10,948 to the Women's Shelter Program of San Luis Obispo County, $106,526 to the Link, and $5,835,000 to the county for administration of the program. On page 5, there's a more detailed description in your staff report of how the funding will be broken down between the different activities. In summary, staff recommends that your board amend the 2010, 2011, and 2012 action plans to reallocate home funds and allocate ESG funds. This concludes my presentation.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Terrell. Questions of staff from my colleagues. Supervisor Meacham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the report, and I'm glad to see they come to resolution with this. I guess the question is, and it's kind of more far-reaching in terms of when we get into discussion from a budgetary standpoint on our community-based organizations, are these funds duplicated in any way when those applications are made? I don't know if I'm being real clear. I just want to make sure that, you know, when we start looking at these things coming up.
Ms. Hanneman.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Hanneman. I'm wearing three hats today. I'm the president of the board of the Link. I'm also an assistant superintendent for Atascadero Schools, and I'm also the homeless advocate and homeless liaison for Atascadero Unified. So my experience working with the Link has been plentiful in working with homeless staff. To describe the Link is a perfect name, because the Link already has links to many, many organizations and support services for the homeless. In your backup materials, it talks about the funds will assist the Link. And I think those are critical words for you to understand. The Link has family resource centers currently. We offer youth development. We have family advocates right now in all parts of our county. They are located in Los Osos, Cambria, Atascadero, Paso, and San Luis Obispo, and San Miguel. We are a counseling center as well. We are partnering with the Lighthouse Program, which is funded by the Atascadero Greyhound Foundation, that for drug and alcohol services, which often goes hand in hand with homelessness, especially with our youth. We work with job placement, rapid rehousing, and parenting support. We are a safe center, meaning we support families with the safe system of care. I wanted to focus on our ability to collaborate with homeless services. We already are a part of the coalition of the Coalition Services for North County. We are represented there with CAPSLO, People's Self-Help, Transitions Mental Health, ECHO, the Women's Shelter, and HASLO. Our board of directors is committed to this grant and making sure that these dollars go for prevention. We will be working in the homeless shelters, but the bulk of our people who are homeless in this county are not in shelters. They are doubled up, tripled up, living in substandard housing. And those will be the prevention services that we'll be providing to try and build up those families. The link has the capacity to strengthen services through targeted collaboration and service delivery. We are relentless. We want prevention and intervention, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. I believe we are, if we are recipients of these dollars, we will bring the dollars back to the community at all parts of the county. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Hanneman. Ken Trigero. Mr. Trigero.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman and members of the board. I'm Ken Trigero, representing Paso Robles Housing Authority. And I'm pleased to report that the Phase 1 of the Oak Park Redevelopment Project has received its tax credit allocation. That is enabling us to go ahead with the 80-unit project, which is the first phase of 300 total there. We've just this last week closed the bidding, had a lot of interest from corporate investors, about eight lined up to bid on bringing their equity, about $15 million, to the project. They feel like it's a really good investment. The city has deferred fees. The construction loan is approved. We're ready to commence construction probably this fall. We were able to, as part of the process to get here, attract USDA financing as well. And that enables us to do some farm worker units, and it also increased our unit count. When we first applied for the initial home funds, we were before you with a project of 69 units, and now here we are with 80 units. So that's part of the reason why this is required in it, for the financing that we brought in. So we think it's a good thing for the project, for the community, and it spends your home funds quicker to get units quicker, which is a national, a federal mandate really from Congress to get those funds out, so we think it is a good thing for all parties concerned. So we're really hoping, and we want to thank you first off for all the support that this board has given us throughout this first initial phase process. We couldn't be here without your support, and we'd ask for your support on the recommendation of staff today to go ahead with this amendment. I'd just like to say in a separate comment that the Housing Authority has worked hard over the last 12 or so months with collaboratively with organizations, most centrally the Link and the Echo Shelter and others that are homeless service providers in the
any housing authority, any committee recognizing that the people of Los Osos are facing an enormous burdened with their sewer costs, and that many people may be losing their homes. And I see no money set aside. I see no special provisions. I see no plans. I see no creative ideas. I actually see no one address the issue of Los Osos except for the people and their advocates of Los Osos. And I am always deeply concerned, knowing that homelessness is preventable. When there is an expression that homelessness is hand in hand with alcohol abuse, what drug abuse, on and on and on. It's a stereotype. Do we have to become alcoholics? I mean, happy hour can be at my house. Do we have to be alcoholics? Is that who we are going to become when we have to access these funds to try to protect our homes or to move out of Los Osos without being on the streets? And I'll say it again and again. I am deeply concerned with bias about homeless people. They're not all the same person. They do not have all the same circumstances. And I'm really, I'll come again and again until people address the fact that the display displacement of the people of Los Osos is preventable. They're seniors, they're disabled, they have health problems, they are the protected class of people, they are the diverse public, the diverse people, and they don't have to be alcoholics. So when we start filling out our application, is this who we're perceived to be? Is this who we'll become? And when we interface, how will we interface if we're not what we're supposed to be? How will we be humble? How will we be repentant? How will we be redeemed if we are perceived to be drug addicts and alcoholics and on and on and on and on and on? Please, someone speak up and ask how these funds may help the people of Los Osos. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Height. That was my last request to speak on public comment on this item, so I'll close public comment and bring it back to the board.
Mr. Chairman, I would move staff's recommendation.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gibson. It's been moved and seconded staff's recommendation. Madam Clerk, roll call,
actually,
please.
If I mind, a short comment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
First, in discussion,
Supervisor Gibson,
I might have
yes.
made that first. But in my discussions with staff, I made the point with them that how much I appreciate the work of the HSOC and our staff who deal with these issues in making difficult decisions. You may have noticed within the staff report that it was decided that a significant chunk of the ESG grants are going to go to a specific organization and not to another. And I understand that that's a difficult decision to make, but I think it is part of a pattern that we're going to increasingly have to engage of not shaving these monies into such small pieces that their administration and their effectiveness is diluted, but rather really looking at the strengths of particular initiatives and funding those that we think will do the best job. So just wanted to commend all involved for their care and good faith in making these decisions.
Very good. Thank you for those comments, Supervisor Gibson. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Gibson? Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Patterson?
I abstain. Okay. With that, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda this morning. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Item number 19, a hearing to consider an appeal by the Plains Exploration and Production Company of public facilities fees on various buildings permits. District 3, item to be continued to October 16th.
Okay. We'll ask staff, Mr. Jansen, if you would lead us on this item, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Matt Jansen, Planning and Building. Yeah, we need a little bit more time on this one. We thought we could be ready today, but we got over 100 permits we're looking at this site. And right now, Cal Fire is in negotiations with BXP because, as you can imagine, this is the redevelopment of an oil field, and fire services is kind of the priority here. So we should be ready on October 16th, so we're recommending continuance until then.
Very good. Thank you. I have no request to speak on this item, so I'll bring it back to my colleagues on the board.
Move to continue to the 16th.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we continue this item to October 16th. A voice vote will work. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Property is, in fact, required for a necessary public project. Once the necessity is affirmed for the subject property to become part of a public project, it supports further processing of a superior court action in eminent domain as to just compensation. Your board must review and consider four essential elements concerning a resolution of necessity as summarized in the next screen. So for today's hearing, as we've begun, you'll receive comments from staff, and I do have Mr. Fred Andrews here in support, Corey Marshallick in support of the project management, Mark Hutchinson in support of the environmental side of the equation, and Jeff Wurst on behalf of design and project management. We will also take testimony from the property owner. The property owner has submitted a letter of objections to the clerk, the board clerk, directly yesterday.
And I received a copy in person from the owner and his representative, and want to make sure that the board has had an opportunity to see that letter, and if not, Mr. Andrews has copies for us to distribute. So we'll do that.
Yeah, I don't know if we received that. Have you
all
seen
it? It was distributed.
Clerk, sir. Okay. Very good. Let me check. That's right.
I'm good. So the owner explained that they do not plan to appear. However, they wanted to submit this letter to preserve any opportunity to contest the resolution if it is adopted today. And so we're presenting this letter of they presented this letter of objection directly to the clerk of the board. Public Works will respond to the owner's four objections as summarized in the letter as a matter of course as we proceed through our presentation here regarding the four elements. So we'll consider all the evidence to support the four elements here. The public interest and necessity require the proposed project. The project is planned or located in the manner compatible with the greatest public good and least private injury. The subject property is necessary for the project, and the offers required under Government Code 7267.2 have been made to the owners. And we will adopt the recommended resolution of necessity by 4/5 vote. I will request that.
Thank you, Mr. Acosta. And I'll ask my colleagues if they have any questions at this time. I see none. We will submit this letter to the clerk for the record. I'll open it to the public for public comment. I have no request to speak on this item, so I'll close it to public comment and bring it back to the board. Supervisor, yes. Mr. Acosta?
Yes, I would like to. I recommend that we complete the presentation
to ensure that
we respond to the four elements
okay.
that are necessary,
thank you.
And in fact, to respond to the property owner's objections.
You're going to respond to that now, then?
Yes, as a matter of course, in our presentation.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Acosta, for that clarification. Please proceed.
Okay, the next panel we have up gives us a view of the project location. This the project is at Santa Rosa Creek Road and Main Street in Cambria. The bridge goes over the Santa Rosa Creek. Now, that's the general location. A little bit about the project background. Much has been done to study various alternatives. And just in summary, the Main Street Bridge Replacement Project is required to replace an existing structurally deficient and functionally obsolete bridge that was constructed in 1922. The project has been found eligible for funding under the Federal Highway Administration Highway Bridge Replacement Program. A mitigated negative declaration and initial study was completed for the project by Public Works as required by the California Environmental Quality Act. A negative declaration and notice of determination was issued January 28, 2010, and that's environmental determination number ED00-168. The initial study and related reports summarize the purpose and need for the project and the primary alternatives that were studied. On June 22, 2010, your board adopted resolution number 2010-204, affirming the decision of the hearing officer and conditionally approving a minor use permit and coastal development permit for the project. And this is under county file number DRC 2009-00041. The county's notice of action and the corresponding staff report provide additional documentation and support for the purpose and need for the project. On March 11, 2011, the California Coastal Commission considered an appeal of the county's coastal development permit under determination appeal number A-3-SLO-10-039, approximately one-third of an acre that's separated from the larger portion of the property. Just wanted to make a note of that. So on to our next panel. We have a colored aerial, and this again shows the project requirements from the Beringer property. The total property is about 8 acres. It's zoned RMF, which is residential multifamily. The current use is a residential bed and breakfast, the Fog's End. with potential for multifamily development as the highest and best use. The project requirements, we have 18 hundredths of an acre for a permanent public road easement, road and slope easement. This area currently contains a 4x8 double panel outdoor advertising sign belonging to Lynn's Farm, advertising their farm store. So that's why we have a secondary ownership here belonging to Lynn, and that's their interest. Also, we have a 13 hundredths of an acre temporary construction easement over the remainder portion of the segmented part of the Beringer property here. On April 20, 2012, the county made the statutory government code 7267.2 offer to the property owners. This offer was based on an appraisal that was duly reviewed and approved by the department, and we advised the owner of the basis of the county's offer with an appraisal summary statement, and they received a full offer packet containing this information regarding the support for our offer amount. Wanted to point out that in this visual also, it shows that the parcel is critical to the proposed project due to the realignment of the roadway to compensate for the new bridge along the new alignment and the grading and slope requirements that go along with the new structure in this area. It would really alter things greatly to try to eliminate this parcel from the project requirements. It's very necessary to this project, and the previous information regarding our environmental documents, our previous studies also point to the critical nature of this parcel and this particular alignment that have been chosen. So next panel, just a brief summary again of the Lynn's Farm interest. We would need to relocate a 4x8 double panel outdoor advertising sign and remove it from the permanent road easement area that we're requesting from Beringer. We have made provision for that sign to be relocated into the temporary construction easement, and we will just work around it once it's relocated, and that's been approved by our project folks. We made an offer to the Lynn's on July 12, 2012, and in fact the Lynn's have signed a right-of-way agreement and a quitclaim deed for their interest. So our negotiations with them are complete, pending negotiations with Beringer or completion. Status of negotiations on the next page, I'll summarize again. The offer to Beringer was April 20th, 2012, and to Lynn, July 12, 2012. The Lynn's have executed their right-of-way contract, as I mentioned, and quit claim on September 6. Negotiations with Beringer as to just compensation are ongoing. However, the status of these negotiations support that movement toward an action in eminent domain is appropriate at this time to assure that the county will have possession of the required property in accordance with the project schedule. And our resolution of necessity here is the next formal step toward such an action. Notice of this hearing was provided to the Beringers dated June 19, 2012, and then also updated on July 12, 2012, because we moved the hearing date to take care of a discrepancy. And I mentioned earlier the Beringers have filed a written objection, and that has been filed with the clerk of the board here. And I'd like to close with our recommendation that the Public Works disagrees with the objections raised by or on behalf of the property owner related to the four issues that we will summarize again in closing, and it is our recommendation that your board affirm the following: that the public interest and necessity require the proposed project, and the project is planned or located in the manner compatible with the greatest public good and least private injury, and the subject property is required for the project. Also, the offers required under Government Code 7267.2 have been made to the property owners, and those offers are based upon duly approved appraisals of just compensation. And we request this by adoption of the resolution of necessity for the real property interests that we've described.
Okay, very good. I have several lights here, and I don't know if they're new or from the previous part of our discussion. Supervisor Gibson?
I'll yield to colleagues with questions and wrap it up when you're done.
Okay, fine. County Council? Mr. Ferran?
Patrick Ferran, Deputy County Council. Frederick, is that
and that the utility relocations are under separate consideration, yes.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to get clarification. Thank you.
Supervisor Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a formal step. I'd like to just confirm a couple things with staff, Mr. Acosta, one, Mr. Hutchinson, for another. One is that this is really a matter of establishing the price for this acquisition. While a written objection to the whole resolution of necessity has been filed, you are in negotiations over price.
Correct, and that is my perception of our meeting yesterday with the property owners, is that their primary concern is with value.
So this is a formal step in what we've been through before, and I wonder if Mr. Hutchinson could comment just briefly. One of the assertions in the objection is that we haven't considered alternate locations of this bridge, and I know that this board may well remember that that was a significant topic of discussion, and Mr. Hutchinson can confirm that that's been looked into in great detail.
Yes, Mark Hutchinson, Department of Public Works Environmental Division Manager. Through the process, the CEQA process, and also Coastal Development process, we looked at numerous alternatives for this project as required by our local coastal plan. So we looked downstream. We looked at a bridge on the existing alignment, the upstream alignment, which ultimately was selected. We also looked at closing the road and rerouting traffic onto other routes as required by the CDP. So it's very clear through the CEQA process that the one and only alignment that could be approved with our local coastal plan is the one that ultimately was approved. I should note, too, that there's mention of some potential future development of this sliver of land. The CEQA process does require us to establish an environmental baseline, which is normally the condition of the property on the day that we start the analysis, which we did do. The CEQA process was completed in 2010, as Phil noted, and duly noticed, considered at public hearings. No information was submitted during that process about any further use of the property, as they suggested a farmer's market on one-third of an acre in the multifamily zone would not be normally something that would be considered.
So, okay. Thank you, Mr. Hutchinson. With that, I'd simply reference that I believe staff has presented evidence in the record of previous actions that are more than adequate to support the individual findings that we must make in order to pass this resolution of necessity, notwithstanding the letter that we've received in objection. I believe that we have adequate grounds, and I would move staff's recommendation.
Okay. Second. All right. It's been moved and seconded staff's recommendation. Madam, we did public comment already on this item. Roll call, please.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Acosta.
Thank you.
Mr. Andrews, thank you. So our next item is closed session, and I'll ask our esteemed county council the estimated time for closed session.
About 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Okay, thank you. And before we go into closed session, I'll open it to the public. I do have two requests this week on closed session. Julie Tacker, followed by Gwen Taylor. Ms. Tacker.
Good morning again. I am Julie Tacker from Los Osos. First case I'd like to speak to is the Mountain Cascade Incorporated versus SLO County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, Taft Electric Company, Prousey Incorporated, and Doe's 1 through 75. That case was filed January 20th of this year. And it just seems to me that we entered into a new contract with Mountain Cascade for the Los Osos Wastewater Project. And I want to know that we considered that this litigation was already ramping up before we entered into new negotiations with this contractor. And I'm concerned that they can then take the new hire, the new job, to the court and say, see, we are a reputable company and we should prevail in this particular case that you're considering today. The other item I'd like to discuss is initiation of litigation. While you don't speak specifically to what cases you might undertake, Mr. Gibson did present at the Regional Water Quality Control Board last week, and there was considerable discussion around the NPDES permit for the wastewater project, and the board asked that staff take a look at the permit that has already been issued and perhaps strengthen its language. And Mr. Gibson was quick to step to the podium and caution.
Won't be considering it today, but go ahead, Ms. Taylor.
My name is Gwen Taylor, and I too have grave concerns about issuing any kind of contract to Mountain Cascade. They were one of the low bidders for the pump stations and the generator stations. And at one time in the discussion, it was brought out that they are only allowing $1,000 in their, shall we call it, shoring up and bracing. That was one component of their bid. And I'm wondering if this is, and I heard what Mr. Jensen said, but I'm wondering as a person perceiving what is going on, if this is a quid pro quo. In other words, you pat my back, I'll pat your back. And this has happened before, and I understand it's in litigation. I also understood Mr. Jensen to say you're not going to discuss it. But perception is everything in what is going on out there in Los Osos. And when you start in giving a contract to a corporation or company that is in litigation with the county, doesn't that bring out questions? Remember that when you make decisions, whether it be on this item or any other item, if you're in litigation with an entity, do not allow that entity contract to be let unless it has been completed in litigation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. I'll close public comment on closed session, and we will adjourn to closed session and reconvene at 1:30 this afternoon. Okay, welcome back to our September 11th Board of Supervisors meeting, the afternoon session, and we'll start out with a report out of closed session. Mr. Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Warren Jensen, the County Council. The Board did meet in closed session. No reportable action was taken.
Okay, thank you. And Madam Clerk, actually we have a couple of presentations to do first thing this afternoon.
Move to approve the presentation calendar.
All right. That's what I was looking for. You guys are getting good. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes. And I have the pleasure of reading the first proclamation declaring Saturday, September 15th, 2012, is San Luis Obispo County Creek Day, and we have Sammy the Steelhead with us, and also Jamie Hendrickson from the Atascadero Mutual Water Company. If you want to come forward to the dais there while I read this. This is a resolution proclaiming Saturday, September 15th, 2012, is San Luis Obispo County Creek Day. Whereas San Luis Obispo County Creek Day and Coastal Cleanup Day is an annual event providing an opportunity to recognize the need to protect the ecological health and beauty of San Luis Obispo County. And whereas plastic debris and cigarette butts, which contain 165 toxic chemicals, threaten water quality, public safety, and aquatic ecosystems, plastics also are a transport mechanism for toxic substances in the marine environment, and ingestion of this material by animals can cause malnutrition, starvation, and even death. And whereas San Luis Obispo County Creek Day and Coastal Cleanup Day is a way for all residents of San Luis Obispo County to join the effort to protect our beautiful coastlines by removing litter from our beaches, creeks, shorelines, streets, parks, and neighborhoods, together we can reduce the harmful impacts caused by both litter and urban runoff and enhance the natural beauty of our watersheds. And whereas members of the San Luis Obispo Creek Day and Coastal Cleanup Day Planning Committee, including Atascadero Mutual Water Company, Central Coast Salmon Enhancement, Citizens of Santa Margarita, EcoSlow, Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo, Cal Poly, Central Coast Partners for Water Quality, and the Templeton Conservation District have come together to organize this countywide event. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors, Great. Thank you very much. And Jamie, do you want to comment?
Thank you so much. On behalf of the SLO County Annual Creek Day Committee, I would like to thank the Board of Supervisors for their continued support of the 21st Annual Creek Cleanup. In order not to be redundant of what the proclamation says, I wanted to share with you what's going on and why we're here. Last year, over 700 community volunteers trudged through the river, creeks, and other waterways throughout San Luis Obispo County with one goal in mind, to clean our creeks before the winter rains arrived. Meeting at 9 different local regions and 50 access sites, volunteers removed more than 17,400 gallons of trash, which would overflow a 5-foot-deep swimming pool that is 20 feet long and 16 feet wide. An additional 9,100 gallons of recyclable trash was collected and is on its way through the recycling loop because of those actions last year. Volunteers of all ages and sizes made a big impact in just 3 hours. Among the usual litter and beverage containers, there were about 100 tires, shopping carts, couches, bicycles, and mattresses. Some unusual items last year included an ironing board, picnic table, a toilet, and laminate flooring. This Saturday, September 15th, from 9 a.m. to noon, community volunteers have the opportunity to take ownership of their neighborhoods, parks, beaches, and open spaces by cleaning local creeks, the Salinas River, and our other waterways. Volunteers can check in at a local station at 9 a.m. and will be directed to sites in need in their local area. Creek Day is fun for all ages. Bring the family or gather a group of coworkers and help keep San Luis Obispo County beautiful and trash-free by participating at a local site. Thank you guys once again.
Thank you, Ms. Hendrickson. And could you give a contact information or a website where people can find out where they meet in their local communities?
Yes. All the information for the Creek Day locations is available on the creekday.org website, www.creekday.org. Or you can also contact the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo, and they could direct you throughout the county, as well as EcoSlow. Any other questions?
Okay, very good. I just do want to remind those listening, Yerba Buena Creek and Santa Margarita will be holding their Creek Day a week from Saturday. It's not this coming Saturday like the other events. It'll be the following Saturday. So we'll meet at the Santa Margarita Community Park, 8 a.m., 1 week from this Saturday for that event. Thank you.
Hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Bye, Sam.
Very good. Thank you.
For all ages.
Okay, we have one more resolution this afternoon, and I've asked Supervisor Gibson to please share that with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I might have Ms. Ann Robinson approach the lectern. Ann is on the board of the San Luis Obispo County Community Foundation and the chair of its selection committee regarding the Women's Legacy Fund. And I'm pleased to read the following resolution. Whereas funding for women and girls as a share of overall foundation giving has historically remained below 7.5%. And whereas California ranks number 34 out of 50 states on the Composite Health and Well-Being Index for women. And whereas between July 1st of 2010 and June 30th of 2011, the domestic violence shelters of San Luis Obispo County provided over 200 clients with over 7,500 nights of shelter and over 23,000 meals, and provided counseling services to over 600 clients. And whereas to address the needs and issues affecting women and girls, the San Luis Obispo County Community Foundation Board of Directors established the Women's Legacy Fund as a permanent endowment in 2002. And whereas on September 13th, 2012, the Women's Legacy Fund will be celebrating its 10th anniversary. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors does hereby recognize and commend the 10th anniversary of the Women's Legacy Fund. Ms. Robinson, if you'd come and receive, please.
Janice has a camera.
We have a photo op, I guess, before comments here. There we go.
In addition to our 10th anniversary milestone, we're celebrating the fact that we have over $500,000 in our endowment after just 10 years. So we're very happy with that. We've made over $70,000 in grants back out in the community to help programs with women and girls. And we also, as some of you know, we did a study a couple years ago to help us better understand what some of the issues are in our county, and we've been using that to help us direct our grants in the future so that we can make best use of the money that does come out of our endowment. And we're looking forward to our luncheon in 2 days, which is 50% larger than last year, where we had to turn people away. So we're feeling very good, and we appreciate very much your proclamation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Robinson. Hold on. There's some comments coming from the dais here. Supervisor Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to thank all the folks that are involved, Ann and Barbara and everyone else, in putting on the luncheon. This is the fourth year that I'm attending. The first year I was brought by a friend of mine who is a donor to the fund, and she said, well, if you really want to, make sure that you have a future in this community, you need to buy a table every year, which I have done, which is true. It's actually one of the more interesting and stirring events and inspirational events, and it's a room full of the most powerful and creative women in our community, so it's a joy to be at, and I just want to thank you guys for continuing to put on a good show and a good lunch. Oh,
thank you. Actually, we have every year more and more men. In fact, four of you gentlemen will be here this time, so we're open to anybody.
Great, and I want to make two comments. One is that I'm quite proud of the fact that both of my legislative assistants are legacy members, and we do our best to attend every year. We didn't get our reservation in time a couple of years ago, but we've been there most years, and we're pleased to see that the event is growing in size and in location to accommodate more of us, and we look forward to the luncheon this Thursday. I also, though, Ms. Robinson, you commented that you didn't have a mascot and the previous group did, but you have certainly one thing better, I think, and that is, and I don't know if she remembers or not, I think she might, but Mary Verdon many years ago was involved with myself and the person who is now the utilities conservation manager for the city of San Luis Obispo, Ron Mons. We met with Mary and others from her staff to actually develop Sammy the Steelhead mascot. And at the time, it was Sammy the Soaring Steelhead. We had a flying steelhead, and that was Mary's brainchild. So she does deserve that credit, and I wanted to point that out. So thank you for being here. Okay. That concludes our presentations this afternoon, and we have a final hearing item, and it looks as though Mr. Phil Acosta is coming forward and will present another item this afternoon. Mr. Acosta.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Phil Acosta, right-of-way agent for Public Works.
Phil, let me have the esteemed county council introduce this item. County clerk.
She can be whoever she wants.
Okay.
Item number 24.
Well, and I thought I could, but obviously I can't. So would you introduce this item, please, Madam Clerk?
Item number 24, submittal of a right-of-way acquisition documents accepting conveyance of 40.33 acres from Donald L. Andre et al., in fee title for the Los Osos Wastewater Project, Los Osos District 2.
Very good. And Mr. Acosta, Supervisor Teixeira has a comment before you begin. Supervisor Teixeira.
Thank you, Chairman Patterson. I do have a financial interest in a property that's within 500 feet of this purchase, so I'll be recusing myself from this item. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Teixeira.
I think I'm going to go buy one.
So. Oh, yeah?
I'll see what
line. This property is adjacent to the Los Osos Cemetery. Is that the issue here? Okay.
Thank you. You've been properly introduced.
I guess we're ready to go now, finally. So if you would take it away, Phil. Thanks.
We do have just a single PowerPoint visual overhead and on your screens here, so you can see the property. The Andre property consists of just over 40 acres. It is somewhat odd-shaped, made up of two assessor's parcels, zoned agriculture, and the current use is rural residential / agriculture.
Conservation area or the open space area?
That's correct.
Okay.
And those that search would be subject to finding a voluntary transaction.
And in this particular case, we have a voluntary transaction.
Yes, in fact, the property owners suggested and requested a voluntary full acquisition in this case.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Other questions? Supervisor Gibson.
And just wanted Mr. Acosta to confirm the difference between this action and the one we took this morning where we had to pass a resolution of necessity. There's no necessity here to go through the findings of this is the only place where this could happen.
That's correct, although we are identifying that the property is necessary for the project.
Correct.
But no, we're not.
Not bound by those same findings. Great. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. I have no more questions for staff at this juncture. I will open it to the public, and I do have three requests to speak. Please come forward as I call your name. Gwen Taylor, followed by Jeff Edwards.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos in the Prohibition Zone, the assessment district for which we all are paying in that assessment district. When this property was first mentioned many years ago by the former CSD, parcel of property was not acceptable because it was under power lines. We were told that because it was under power lines that no sewer development could take place. We now find that the sewer development is to take place, or plant if you wish, at the Jacamazi property. Yet we do not know whether the county has completed the purchase of that property. Is the Andre property going to be used for spray fields? And if so, is the PG&E aware of this? Or is there any restriction of water being sprayed anywhere near where those power lines are? Wind blows, power lines are susceptible to moisture, or we are going to find ourselves in a situation where we have outages because of that water situation. Yes, it rains, but if you have a constant water problem there from that property, is that going to be something that is not God-given? The other thing, too, is that Supervisor Gibson continues to profess that we're saving money because of the different contracts that have been approved and are in place because of less bid costs. Yet here we are buying another piece of property. How many pieces of property are we going to be purchasing in order to get this sewer project online? It seems as if every time we hear of a saving, we turn right around and we see another expenditure. It must stop. There is no bottomless pit for those who are paying the bills. And that is what seems to be taking place now.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Jeff Edwards, followed by Julie Tapp.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Good afternoon, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I'm a nearly 40-year resident of Los Osos, where seawater intrusion is our greatest threat to our groundwater basin. The matter before you this afternoon may seem kind of small. It's less than $1 million in this project. Of course, we spend millions like it's going out of style. But it raises some larger questions. First of all, it's my understanding that the only reason any real property interest was needed for this particular piece of property was an access easement. So how we got from an access easement to buying the entire 40 acres in fee is a question to me. As you may know, there's a PG&E transmission easement that crosses the property. In fact, it virtually parallels it. It's a very irregular property. It's my understanding that the coastal development permit does not require any more acreage for an ag easement than we have in the Jacamozzi acquisition, which is 75 acres. So how is it that we need additional mitigation land for the ag impacts at the treatment facility, which is the 25-acre Jacamozzi fee title? It doesn't make sense. There's a pattern of overspending in this project. Recycled water management plan. It's an abject failure. There is no recycled water management plan. And I don't believe you need to buy this property in fee. You can get an easement, an access easement, which, by the way, we wouldn't even be talking about this property if it wasn't for the cemetery who insisted on you buying broadening the easement to the treatment site. So don't buy this property. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Julie Tacker.
Good afternoon. I am Julie Tacker from Los Osos, and I have a question related to the appraisal. The Jacamozzi purchase, as I recall, is 100 acres, 25 or so we will use for the treatment facility, the other is for the ag easement, and it's $583,000. That's a lot more land, and there's a benefit, a seawater intrusion benefit for irrigation on the land that comes with the agricultural easement should we get a contract with the farmer that uses water in that area. So a $725,000 price tag for this 40 acres that is of lesser quality is a good question, and I would like to see your board further get some answers from Public Works. And the longevity I have had in the community, I have not seen crops irrigated, crops cultivated on this property. If ever, it's been 20 or more years. Well, Mrs. Andre, they're going to buy your property. So it really doesn't matter what I'm saying here. What I am concerned about is that it hasn't been irrigated in decades, and that seawater intrusion mitigation will not be realized should any irrigation take place on that land as part of the wastewater project. And I would like assurance from your board that that is not the use that will come in the future for that property. I am an interested party in this project. I believe I legally and formally am an interested party. I have appealed the project on several opportunities, but I was not notified for the conformity report that went through your planning commission, and I would have liked to have been and been part of the discussion at that level, and maybe we wouldn't be here today. But I have been left out, and I believe other interested parties, I think there's 400 of us, that have been left out. This site was the environmentally preferred location in 2001, and now if you're going to purchase it, it does raise the question, why do we need Jacamazi for a wastewater treatment facility? Facilities can be built at the Andre site like we suggested, like the CSD suggested in 2001. So thank you for your time, and my little boy enjoyed his camera time.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. That concludes my request to speak on this item, so I'll close it to public comment and bring it back to the board. Does staff have responses to the questions raised during public comment?
Yes, for those questions that you would like to have.
Okay. Did you make some notes there, Mr. Acosta?
Yes, I did make a few, and I can clarify some information first, if I may. Regarding the PG&E power lines, our environmental coordinator has confirmed with the proper authorities that the acreage, there's the necessary acreage available for agricultural open space use restriction, irregardless of the PG&E easement. And that open space easement will not conflict with the PG&E use. The questions, though, were directed more at spray fields. We've made no mention of spray field use in our board letter or in our proposal for the purchase of this property. I would make a note that it does lie over the necessary aquifer for such a thing, but no such use is being proposed here. The property does mirror the soil characteristics of the Jacamazi, as we're calling it, treatment site. And I would like to clarify that the Jacamazi property acquisition consists of approximately 24.5 acres, and of which 17.5 acres will actually consist of the treatment facility.
Okay.
The remaining acreage of that acquisition we cannot develop. So of that 17.5 acres, we have a 2-to-1 ag mitigation requirement. That brings us to our 35-acre ag mitigation requirement to be satisfied on the Andre experience and a lot of experience doing county work and very high level of confidence in that appraisal, and it was duly reviewed and approved and accepted by the department for negotiation purposes.
Okay, very good. And finally, a note that I made, there was a comment about interested parties not notified, and I don't know if you have that information or if Mr. Waddell
we did provide a public notice. It was posted to the Tribune on August 21st, August 28th, and September 4th, both online and in their print newspaper.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Acosta. I appreciate your responses. Mr. Gibson?
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Act on this item.
I don't know if colleagues have any further questions. We have heard from staff on the nature of the appraisal, the various property interests we need for road access and an ag mitigation. It is useful to point out that this remains an asset of the wastewater project, and so to the extent that down the line at an indefinite period in the future, we don't need all the real property interests that come with this one package. We are able to sell that off. Those proceeds would go back to the benefit of the project. But at this point, after a lot of discussion on various alternatives, this is an option that makes sense. And with that, I'll move staff's recommendation.
Very good.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded staff's recommendation. And it is, I want to point out, clearly stated in the board packet that if this property is not needed. It would be leased or sold, and the assets would go to the participants in the wastewater project,
correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes.
And Mr. Patterson?
Yes. Okay. That concludes our meeting for today, and we will see you all on September 18th. Thank you. Thank you, Phil.